start off with a word of warning as regards unused creativity. And then we go on exploring the lands of Somatic philosophy, whatever that might be. So here's part two of my conversation with Heather Levenstein, mind recovery systems therapist based in Gothenburg, Sweden. And my name is Miriam van der Valk.
Something I read once, and for me this also ties into then Somatic intelligence, yeah. Speak about this, that, was it Elizabeth Gilbert who wrote it? I'm not sure, but that unused creativity is not benign.
That's lovely.
Yes.
Yeah. I bet it was her. It sounds like her.
Yeah, it does sound like her, doesn't it? So if she was quoting someone or if it was her own words, I don't want to, because I'm not sure, but it just, it's like that just resonated in every cell of my body. Yes. Yes. Yeah. You know, if you have a dream and you've had this dream for a long time and your body gets that tingle.
Yeah.
When you know, like you probably didn't get about nursing.
Yeah.
But you got to get about, you know, doing these podcasts.
Yes. Then, yeah, yeah.
And you ignore it.
Yeah.
It's not just that, oh, you know, well, I'm not going to eat that ice cream today because I don't want to badly be enough. That,
yeah.
You know,
someone else will
know, it's like your body's going to keep telling you.
Yeah. You'll get ill, you know, if you don't do it.
Yes. Yeah. And actually before I had the training that I had now, like of the mind and the body, because I don't feel I got that with the acupressure or the Reiki or anything, this understanding of the connection.
Mm.
I didn't know where it came from that I said to my boss, if I stay here, I will get ill.
Yeah.
And I didn't know where those words came from.
Mm. Your body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some wisdom somewhere in my body. And then so soon afterwards came this training. I was like,
that's where it came from.
I would have.
Yeah.
Now I understand how I would have, and that it's nothing far out to say that. But I was like, did I just say this?
Yeah.
But do I believe that?
Yeah.
Yes, I do. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But I just know this. If I stay here, I will get ill.
Yeah. And you'll notice afterwards that you believed it. Because, and this is what I'm thinking, and what I mean when I say trust the process and the emergent energy, is that you say the things, the words that are in your mouth, I will, if I stay here, I will get ill. Mm. And then much later you'll see, oh, now I know what I meant, you know?
Mm.
And that is the what I'm looking for so much with this theories to the lack of being the director and the editor. Direction, like I don't want redigering and regisseur to direct what everyone's saying and the setting, and I don't want to do that. Yes. I want to see what happens, and then afterwards we'll see.
I love it. I'm a bit of a control freak, but I love it.
Yeah, I'm also a bit of a control freak. This is a huge even 1 year ago I could have never done this, never ever.
I find funny this I don't find too hard, but I think it's because that's interesting.
Yeah. I also think it's interesting.
Because I am a bit of a control freak, but I love that you don't want to control this, that there's a freedom in this. I'm also a freedom freak.
Mm.
Can you imagine how hard it is to be me?
Yeah.
I think I am a freedom freak and a control freak at the same time.
Yeah.
But that the freedom freak is stronger. So even if I'm terrified, I would rather jump than stay.
The way I see it, the way I would explain it as a sort of with my Myers-Briggs stuff in the back of my head, is that we do want this freedom. We do want, all types want freedom, but for sometimes types, it's... for half the types, it's the freedom comes in knowing the boundaries and knowing the frame.
Yeah.
And for some people, it's very important to yourself paint the frame.
Yes.
You know? So this is the combination of control freak and freedom freak. You know? And right now I want to, the frame I want to do is, it has to do with stepping, this is like philosophical ground where people haven't stepped before.
Yeah.
So this is originality, and this is new thinking. This is brave thinking. Yes. That's what I want to do.
Yes.
This is suspension of disbelief. So we don't. Yeah. I don't come in with the set mindset of, I'm going to like break down into the smallest parts and sort of crush your arguments. And you know what I want to do is I want to check what happens if we believe that the body is wise, has wisdom,
yes.
can somehow like it, what's the word? Can inform and I'm thinking out loud, so I don't really know what I'm going, where I'm going, but that we can that integrity and authenticity in life and mm-hmm. agency and mm-hmm. all of these things mm-hmm. That they have to do with the body as much as with our thinking
yes.
patterns
yes.
or you know
yes.
How much we went to therapy or, mm. you know that, mm. it's that there is a connection here that I'm interested in. So my frame is very wide now. I am super nervous, and you know I'm sitting here with my like, am I cold now? Yes, now I'm cold. Am I warm? And,
yeah.
You know, and I try to sort of we're in my house now, so I try to sort of briefly put all the toys in one pile. Like, oh, is this okay? Is this okay? You know, but yeah. I'm also trying to trust the process. And
yes.
Yeah, and I had this idea that it would be okay.
No, but me too. Because actually, when you were talking, I realized that it was because I had this basic sense of trust.
Yeah, yeah.
In you.
Mm.
Because I think that all people, perhaps to varying degrees, but we have a need to be understood.
Yes.
We have a basic need to be heard and to be understood.
Mm.
I could ask you, you know, if you're going to publish this podcast, that I want to hear it after it's edited. Mm. I want to hear the way you... And I think, no, I don't actually need to do that with you. With you, I can trust... I know that you could cut this in a way that I feel that you're totally misrepresenting what I say. But I can let it go with you.
Mm.
But I wouldn't be able to with everyone.
Mm.
So that this trust
is
such an important part there. And I think that with trusting in life, with making big decisions, and that is also one of the things that is proven is so vital to health, actually, is a belief in a higher connection.
Say. Yes.
In a higher being,
yeah.
and whatever your religion, even if one doesn't want to call it religion, you used the word trust, and it resonated so strongly for me that in a smaller thing like this, well, I trust you.
Mm.
I don't have to veto this.
Mm.
In the same way as you just, okay, we don't plan this talk.
Yeah,
you trusted me.
Yeah.
And in my bigger decisions in life, I feel I have to have a trust in a higher connection.
Mm.
And when I lose that trust, then I get very caught up in fear.
Yeah, yeah.
And how am I going to pay the bills? And
yeah.
you know, or I don't have enough work booked, or I don't have, you know, it always comes.
Yeah.
When I need it, yeah. but
yeah, it does come.
It does come. It's always it has the whole time, but I. And in my connected moments, I trust that.
Mm.
In my non-connected moments, I just get caught up in the fear.
Yeah.
And that fear is dangerous.
Mm.
It's not just unpleasant. I believe it's dangerous.
Mm. Yeah.
And I don't believe I can, or certainly not at this point in my life, avoid it completely.
Mm.
But I do think a first step is becoming aware of it and aware of where it comes from and what its root is, and
And noticing when it's happening.
Yes.
Yeah. That's exactly. Step one. Like Zygmunt Bauman also said, it's not a life without problems.
Yes.
Yeah. It's overcoming the problem. Yeah. But noticing now. Okay. Now I'm afraid.
Yes.
You know.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. And also okay. But and that's a space. That isn't necessarily that is my reality. Oh, I'm never going to get more work, and I'm never, you know, that's not necessarily that is the reality, but that is the space that I'm in right now, where I'm in that, as Krista calls it, a tankerum, that thought room, or you know, that or just space where I am connected to all those. It's very much old patterns and old thoughts.
Yes.
Instead of in this space that feels so much truer.
Yeah.
Where I feel connected and where I feel trust.
Yeah, it's like it's in the big, in the city or the castle or the house or little hut that is me. I've locked myself in the cupboard, and then I'm like, oh God, it's really dark. I hate those things and it smells bad. And, you know, so that's also what I meant by the positionality and the intention and the direction. And so, this is to be able to say, you know, when, because God is always calling, you know, so, so to be able to say, hineni from here, hineni, yes. I am in the cupboard, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
From wherever you are.
Yeah, from wherever you are.
Exactly. Yeah. That's beautiful. I love that. Yeah, because otherwise you can just sit around, you can die waiting to be in that perfect place to say, now I'm ready.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah. Now I'm ready. I've got everything. I've got the right outfit and the gear, and I'm by the, you know, bending forward and ready to run when you press the, poof, you know, at the race course.
Oh, I love that. This doesn't in any way actually tie up with the whole theory model and everything of mind recovery systems. I feel I need to say that.
Okay.
Krista is very, very scientific in a way.
Yeah.
Very, it's the tapping that works, and, you know, it's...
When you say tapping, you're touching your
cheek. Well, this is one of the points. This is one of the points we use. There's certain points that we use that are on the meridians. But whereas Thomas's partner is much more like me. But he's been, what I love about his way of teaching as well is that it's been very, I don't want to create a whole bunch of mini me's. You're going to make this into your own. There are certain things that are, you know, that we wouldn't budge from, because that is the basis of the technique.
Did Krista invent this?
So it's yes and no. It's founded in thought field therapy, TFT. And, you know, EFT, which is, you know, which has become very, very popular, where people tap themselves, so it's connected to that. It's connected more to thought field therapy, but Krista has taken it further than that. So mind recovery systems, that is his, but the whole thing with the tapping, that he did not invent. But it isn't his, he hasn't developed that part specifically. He uses provocations to really intensify the feelings, and that's also one of the big differences between what he's doing and thought field therapy, which is quite big in Norway. Provocation can be something, just someone who didn't get physical affection as a child. A provocation for them can be just him putting his hand on their hand very gently. That can drive someone mad. I think the most provoked I ever got in a treatment was when he just did this very gently to my cheek. And called me, Lila, had that little head. You fucking don't do that to me. I very nearly hit him. So, I mean, that's, you know, so a provocation doesn't have to be something that you could think was hectic. But calling me Lila Heather, oh my God, no one does that. Except him. And he knew exactly what he was doing. He wasn't doing it to be patronizing. He was doing it to, like, why? You know, to get to the very root of why does that, why don't I just, like, get a bit, you know, excuse me, you know, I can call you that back, you stupid chauvinist or whatever, you know, because very often it is used to, patronize them. But one can recognize that without getting so provoked.
But it can also be a kind of just saying, what do you have? Feelings? Are you soft? How provocative? And I would be so provoked too. But maybe that's also that also plays into it. Like, are you soft? Can I? Are you? Do you have a soft core, or is all of you this strong?
Or are you tapping into something? Tapping now being used. Not literally, but you're tapping into something that someone missed. That wasn't, that you weren't given, perhaps. And therefore, there can be a lot of reasons why that provoked, why that would provoke someone. And someone else it wouldn't provoke at all. So you find your, but we, I wouldn't say I don't at all, but so much more carefully, his students, we're not using provocations in that way. Because the reactions you get, you've got to be experienced enough to deal with. So we're not... certainly not on that level, using those kind of provocations. But my philosophy, if that's the right word, I'm not sure it is, but when I treat, is that I believe in this method. I believe in the incredible power of the tapping.
Mm.
I've seen it. It is incredible.
Mm.
But I also believe in something larger at play.
Mm.
And I also believe in the relationship, in the importance of the relationship between me and the client.
Mm.
But I also believe in myself as a channel, as a vessel.
Yeah.
And that is not what I have been taught.
Yeah.
Through, but I always say a little prayer.
Yeah.
First, a silent one.
Yeah.
Not aloud that the other person hears to help them to heal, to help me to help them to heal, for me to be a channel for a greater healing power. Mm. I believe that there's so much at play when we're working with people in any kind of healing form, and to always remain incredibly humble about it.
Mm. Yeah.
Because it can be quite tempting, because some people have already got amazing results and it is so gratifying, and to report, but it's not me.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
To
yeah.
always remember it's not me.
Yeah.
It's a technique. It's in my belief system, it's something bigger going on. Mm. And if I am playing a part of it, well then I was given that gift to be able to do it.
Yes, yes. And the feeling I can feel is gratitude.
Yes.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah. Mm.
I always do that too. I always with my coaching clients, I always sort of take a few minutes before and say, like, let me be what the person needs right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's also what I mean by intent.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to, yeah. So it's not like, okay, let me show that I can do this magic.
Yes.
It's like,
yes.
Not the intent.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because then also you're not going to be much of a help when you're not getting fast results if your ego is so involved in the process. Because it works both ways. It's you know, with some clients who, I don't even want to use responsive because it's not that the ones who take longer time are not responsive, but with some issues that take longer time or some people who have deeper traumas, whatever. But it is incredibly gratifying when someone comes back after two sessions like, well, this pain I've had for decades is gone. You know, that is very gratifying. And just as tempting as it can be that, whoa, I'm good. You know, just as tempting as that can be, it can be just as tempting when someone says, well, it hasn't helped that yet. But,
yeah.
Oh, well, I'm crap. Should I really be working with this? Because it's not about that either.
Yeah.
Oh, well, this is going to take longer.
Yeah.
Or perhaps we need to find a slightly different approach or
whatever. And you can also, okay, this is going a different way, but I'm pretty sure like intentful prayer can help because depending on how you define prayer, but I mean, prayer as in setting the intention. I'm using the same word all the time now. I don't know.
You'd love learning methods. It's a lot about intention.
Yeah. And also, like, so prayer as in, prayer as in saying, okay, if I'm in the cupboard in the house, you just say, okay, I'm getting out of the cupboard. Now I'm going to this area of where I'm a very good vessel for health. I'm going there. And then... So make sure you send all the good stuff, you know, because I'm getting ready to be a good vessel.
Yes.
You know, so that's the kind of what I mean by prayer.
Yes.
Kind of like, okay, yes. I'm ready to be there. Yeah.
I'm open.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly. And to just take that. I think there's so much in that, just that even if it's 1 minute one has time for before the person arrives. Because it's also...
It takes a second.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a second.
Exactly. Yeah. And you're putting yourself in that open room.
Yeah.
Connectedness and the place of receiving that person where they are.
Yeah.
Instead of, well, I would like you to be there now because now we've had five sessions already.
Yeah. Or to see, like to put this, to have this sort of, I don't know, like the other person comes into the room, or for me, very often with my clients, I'm on my computer and watching them on Zoom or something. Mm-hmm. So the other person comes in, and I'm allowing myself to be in my body and in my interpretive mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sitting, I'm breathing slowly, I'm making sure I'm not like very tense, and I'm in the I'm praying at the same time. Mm-hmm. I mean, praying in the sense that I just said,
yes,
you know?
Yes,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And the person comes in, and I'm saying, okay, no, 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 and then letting the words come, letting the words yes. come. And often the beginning is sort of, why, how can I help you today, you know?
Yes.
And then if there's nothing coming out, maybe a giggle is appropriate.
Yeah.
You know, that's possible. Mm-hmm. It's possible that a giggle is what makes the other person feel so comfortable that they can say, I don't know what I'm doing. I regretted booking this session. Mm-hmm. You know, I have no idea what I'm going to talk about. I don't have problems. I wish I could just like lie down and eat some crisps instead. Yes. Yeah.
Mm.
And then we can start there. So it's sort of...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
Mm.
Whatever is there. That's actually why with EFT, when you tap yourself again, my phone...
Yeah.
I notice now my fingers go to my cheekbone every time I talk about tapping.
Yeah.
One of the reasons we're a little careful about people tapping themselves in between sessions, it's not that it's a no, absolutely not. I have one client who's helping her amazingly. Just continue, but she doesn't do it the day before she comes or that morning.
Yeah.
It's because EFT is amazing. It's emotional freedom technique.
Mm.
It is amazing. It is very helpful for people, but it is basically treating symptoms.
Yeah.
You cannot go very, very deep with yourself. You cannot treat yourself to the point where you are, where your feelings are so intense that perhaps you're 2 years old and reliving a trauma.
Yes.
You cannot heal that kind of trauma in yourself.
Yeah.
You need
this
help.
Is a super important point.
Yes. Yes.
About how we meet other people
yes.
in the world.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And those feelings of, I just want to be at home eating crisps or... That's really important.
Mm.
That's your clue of getting into what that person really needs help with.
Yeah.
Why that person really, because she turned up or he turned up.
Yeah.
So obviously there was a reason.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not trying to trick the person. It's trying to actually, you know, well, you did come here. So there's something that you want me to help you
and
with.
Those are usually the best sessions.
Yes. Ah. Yes. And so if we don't want to take away what Krista calls a snitzadbana, you know, those directions, those feelings that are not, they are not wrong. They're not a problem that we want to medicate away or take away.
Mm.
It can be very difficult treating people who are on antidepressants or too much.
Yeah.
Because we don't have those clues. Because those clues, they're symptoms. That depression is just a symptom.
Yeah.
Or that anxiety is just a symptom to get to the trauma, to get to the root.
Yeah.
And when we're taking those things away, it's much, much more difficult to find our way to that route.
Mm.
Not saying it's impossible, but it's a lot more difficult.
Mm.
Well, you asked what one can come for, what it helps for.
Yeah.
And I think the answer can be perceived as quite provocative.
Yeah.
Because it's basically almost anything.
Yeah.
Because there is research about how much of a cell's function is governed by feelings.
Mm.
And it is very, very, very high. And we are working with feelings.
Mm.
And, you know, I had heard when I went for my first treatment, and I said, well, you know, I've got to try this out before I can say I'm convinced enough to do the actual training.
Mm.
And I'd hurt my heel. I'd been limping for about a month and thought I was really getting this, what is it called, when people then have problems with their heels, you know, on and off.
Hälsporre.
Bad Swedish, so I can mix the vowels around. And it was quite interesting because the thing about the heel came up during the treatment, and then I remembered when it had happened and my feelings on that train journey, and it was so interesting. It came tied up to so much in life with, you know, with feeling supported or unsupported. And the next day I just realized it was gone.
Mm.
It was just gone.
Mm.
And it's a little bit of a... quite an interesting what's the word, meter, kind of, for
yeah,
me.
Yes, the rhythm.
Yeah, that thing. I now notice when I'm entering, you know, certain rooms.
Yeah.
In fear or whatever, it comes back a little bit. And I'm quite grateful for it.
Oh, that's excellent. Yeah, again, the canary birds.
Exactly. Yeah. So now my heel is now my canary.
Yes, wonderful.
So that's where I love that connection then. You know, if I'd gone for just a more purely physical healing, maybe they would have helped to heal, but I wouldn't have realized that connection of exactly why it came right then. So it can help with very specific physical ailments sometimes. I don't want to say always, because I never want to give that guarantee.
No. We have to, you always have to listen responsibly to,
yes.
You know.
And
to,
yes, exactly. Yeah. That's a very good point as well. But anxiety, depression, stage fright, migraines. Chris just had a client with multiple sclerosis who got out of his wheelchair. But he said that the reactions in that person's warm evening. I hate it when I can't speak English. People got very provoked. Because again, you know, we talk about the people's frame of reference. And it, you know, what do you do with stuff that doesn't fit in? And not everyone gets excited and, so this will push my frame of reference. And some people get very threatened.
Yeah, they hate it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You're rocking my whole...
Yeah.
Everything I've built my
belief
system on.
What to do now.
Exactly. Get back in your wheelchair. Not because I'm a horrible person who wishes you ill, but because...
Yeah, I can't deal.
I can't deal with this. And in fact, and that is what we were speaking about as well, with people respecting people's own processes. That is also the process of people who are healing sometimes. He had someone with Parkinson's who came to him who, at the beginning, he was like, you know, can you hold your hands straight without shaking? No, he couldn't. Can you move your feet in this kind of dance sequence? No, he couldn't. And they were working in that treatment, and then you're just working with feelings. And, well, what is the feeling that you can't do this and you can't do this? And have you ever had that feeling before? No. Just the feeling, not the experience, the feeling. Got into a childhood trauma. And again, we should actually, I would like, because that's also very relevant, to define trauma.
Yes.
But just to finish the story first. And found that feeling in a trauma as a child. And they worked with that, you know, Krista tapped. And afterwards, he could hold his hands straight. And he could do those sequences with his feet. It made no sense, in inverted commas. And he was meant to come back the next week. And he phoned and said, no, my doctor doesn't want me to continue until we've tried this new medication.
Yeah.
And I got it set in.
Yeah.
Okay. You have my number, you call me. And he never called again. And he's seen this man, and the Parkinson's has deteriorated terribly. And that is something one has to accept. You know, because one doesn't start working with this because one doesn't, you know, one enters into this kind of profession because of a very deep desire to help people. And a belief somewhere that, you know, I wouldn't be working with this technique if I didn't believe in it. I've trained in other techniques and didn't feel that as strongly. And I'm not in any way knocking those techniques. I think they're amazing, but it wasn't what was meant for me to work with. And to accept and respect someone else's process. Well, then this wasn't where he was right now. And I really want to actually reiterate that again as well. I exchanged treatments with this amazing woman who is studying shamanic healing. And she gave me a treatment and I gave her a treatment. And we both loved our treatments. They were amazing treatments, both of them. Like, we're both very responsive. And like, wow, that was so strong and that was amazing. And that was, and both said, but I couldn't do what you are doing. That my, that isn't the way I am meant to be working. And there was such an understanding in that and a deep respect for that, that like, It wouldn't be me to be sitting there doing the shamanic healing and all these rituals and everything. Yeah. But I could receive it.
Yeah.
And benefit immensely from
it. Yes.
Just like with Reiki.
Yeah.
But didn't feel like this is quite my way to work. I could absolutely happily give Reiki treatments and feel I was giving something very valuable to the other person. But that isn't what I'm meant to be.
Mm.
That isn't my paintbrush or
Your radical subjectivity doesn't play out in that role.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
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 Mm.
Yeah. And I wanted to just clarify a bit about trauma, that trauma can really be, people come say, but I don't have trauma.
Mm.
Trauma can be, especially as a child, there has to be a feeling of insecurity. Because a child can experience something that we would think was terrible and incredibly traumatic, but if that child feels secure in that moment, you know, if a bomb explodes down the street and your child is here and you say to the child, it's all right, it's not going to.
That was not going to hurt scary us. And frightening.
Frightening, yeah. But I'm here. We'll I'm taking care here. Of you, and you're going to be all right.
Mm.
It's very unlikely that that is going to be experienced as a very bad trauma.
Mm. Yeah.
Whereas if the child knocks over a toy and the parent gets very angry and so there's no one taking care of the child in that moment, that can actually create very deep trauma.
Absolutely.
It's quite terrifying as a parent.
Yes. Yes. You have the intensity of the responsibility you have for and the things that you give your child from your own thoughts and feelings and upbringing. Yes. It's just intense.
Absolutely. And you can't, and some of it we can work with and some of it is harder to work with because some of it we've inherited even just genetically.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm convinced of that.
Mm.
You know, that we have this memory in our cells that we've inherited and we can work with it, but we can't do it on our own.
Mm. We can't do it on our own. Yeah. Here we go again. Yeah. Here we go again. Yeah.
Yeah. And we can't do it just by talking about it.
Mm.
And there I am prepared to sound a little arrogant and a little, I am so careful to not in any way knock any forms of therapy, but I do not believe we can heal that kind of trauma by just talking about it.
Mm.
And I'm prepared to really stand for that, actually.
Mm. Because the way we use trauma is also, you can say you have trauma to your knee. For instance, so even with that knee, you cannot cure it by only treating the knee with instruments, medical instruments.
Yes. And what Krista, you know, if we go back to this kid with his knee, the bones had not healed by the end of that session. I think this is very important. I should have clarified that then. What Krista said he worked with was the trauma of the accident, the feelings of not being allowed to play sports, for example, he probably worked with. Now I'm speculating a little bit, but just you know, from saying what I would then work with in a treatment with someone like that. You know, what is the worst thing about not being able to play hockey right now, and the fear of not being able to, because what mind recovery systems does, and this is very important, all we're doing is activating the body's own ability to heal. We are not healing anything by the tapping. We are deactivating insecurity. We are deactivating traumas, so that, or deactivating traumas is not even accurate. We are deactivating insecurity so the body can heal the trauma. Because our body has an inbuilt wisdom and ability to heal basically anything. The knees, the bones in the knee knew where they were supposed to be. They did not need a surgeon to show them where to be. If the body knows anything, it knows that. But it wasn't able to because there was so much tension. There was trauma in the way. That was a blockage. So Krista was working with that blockage. He was working with that trauma. And then the body could heal. They didn't understand anything when he went back for x-rays. It's tapping into the body's own intelligence, the body's own ability to heal. And that is, again, where I feel my humility as a therapist is so important. It's not me doing it.
And that also, and to keep that humility so that, you know, we read about these, like people from the mystical traditions or something, and then they might start off very enlightened, if you will, high levels of consciousness, and suddenly they degrade and go down, and then you hear about these strange, like the suddenly there it comes out that they're pedophiles or you know, whatever weird bad stuff. So they lost it. They lost the humility. Yeah. They lost the idea that it's not me. I'm the vessel.
And I see it with conductors. Yeah. I see it with these young, amazing, promising conductors with these lovely people who are just passionate about the music, and everyone is running around them in circles, and you know, the genius, and they don't manage to stay that way.
Yeah,
they're having temper tantrums the next time I go back to that orchestra. Yeah. You know, if it's, and I haven't been there perhaps for the development of it. So I'm like, what?
Yeah, this is the same person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How sad. Is this about the music?
Yeah.
You've been given a gift.
Mm.
And it's, and then it starts becoming, and it's very hard because they're treated as gods, which is a, you know, it's a terrible word to use in that context, but it's what one can see. And also the humility for me is also, it's very important for me that I've had treatments and that I continue having treatments, and that I know how much harder it is to be the one reliving.
Very
hard stuff.
Yeah.
And delving into the hard stuff and my body really feeling it again. It's much harder to be on that side of things. And the courage that it takes, it really does take enormous courage. And I feel such immense respect and admiration every time for my clients that they're prepared to do it. And I can, the strength of the human spirit. People who don't give up, people who've been through terrible things, who have felt awful perhaps for decades, and
maybe it's also not them who are not giving up,
maybe.
But at least they have the sort of, I don't know what kind of strength it is that allows them to sort of silence the voice of the ego, you know, to say, the devil, I know, I'm leaving you. I'm prepared to leave you for the devil I don't know. Just to discover that there was no other devil.
Yes. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It was just the one that you knew.
Yeah. Hope.
Yeah.
Hope is such an important word in all of it. And where does that hope come from? Then ties into what you just said. But
you're aligning to it. Yes. It's like the hope is there and you're like, you know, I want in. I want in on this.
And somehow knowing that you're in that room, that you're not locked in the cupboard, so that you know that hope is real, that it's not just this false promise.
You open the door. That's what you need to do. You always need to open the door yourself.
Yeah, you do.
You
do. But you need help. We all need help.
Yeah, we all need help. But we need someone else to be in the rest. But there are other people. That's the thing. There are other people. So I think the step one is the... to say, if you're in the cupboard, to say, Hineni, I'm in a cupboard.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you can, so the next maybe is sort of, where are other people? Where are you? Where are the other people?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you can, and then they'll make some noise, or, you know, metaphorically. Yeah. And then you can open the door and say, okay, I'm coming out now.
Yes.
I'm
coming out. Yeah.
Somatic philosophy. I think I'm getting somewhere. And I'm thoroughly looking forward to my own session with Heather. I won't bring the microphone. Gosh, no. But I might write about it afterwards. We'll see. You can find this podcast series on philoprax.com. That's philoprax.com. Along with contact details to Heather's practice. Till next time. Bye-bye.